tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. And alhamdulillah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the open enemy of mankind. Inshallah Azawajal, before that, let's first and foremost recite Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who would have recited the most Salat upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, jazakallah Sayyidi. Welcome and marhaba once again on this silsila. And alhamdulillah, we have been coming a long way, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah.
And whenever you come, it adds value and beauty to the program.
Barakallahu sahib. Likewise.
Jazakallah. I really appreciate it, Sayyidi. Now, Sayyidi, our today's episode is about the open enemy of mankind. And the open enemy of mankind is who? If you look close in the glorious Quran, this is the description that is given to shaitan. That the shaitan is the open enemy of mankind. And this is so open. And Allah Azza wa Jal is informing us about this, that He is your open enemy. Allahu Akbar. In many surahs of the Holy Quran, one instance of it is mentioned in Surah Yasin, for example. And we should take heed from this, that He is our open enemy. And if we need to safeguard ourselves against the punishment of hell, then we need to abstain from this enemy. Sayyidi, it is mentioned in one narration that Sayyidina Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrated this. An Abi Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, ani Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam annahu qal, and he narrates this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he has stated, inna iblisa lamma unzila il ard, قَالَ يَا رَبِّ أَنزَلْتَنِي إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. When Allah Azza wa Jal chased Iblis to the earth, and he said to Allah Azza wa Jal, يَا رَبِّ, O my Lord, أَنزَلْتَنِي إِلَى الْأَرْضِ, you have sent me down to the earth, وَجَعَلْتَنِي رَجِيمًا, and you have made me accursed, so provide me with an accommodation. And when he made this request in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, to provide him with an accommodation, a place to stay, Allah Azza wa Jal stated, it is the toilet. The place where shaitan stays, it is the toilet. Allahu Akbar. And then shaitan asked, grant me an office. And Allah Azza wa Jal stated, it is the markets and street mobs. He then requested Allah Azza wa Jal, oh Allah, provide me with food. And then Allah Azza wa Jal stated, the food on which Allah's name is not recited. Then shaitan asked, O Allah, provide me with drink. And Allah Azza wa Jal responded, all the alcoholic beverages, those are the drinks of shaitan. And then he asked, give me an announcer. Allah Azza wa Jal stated, it is musical instrument. Then shaitan asked, grant me a revelation. Allah Azza wa Jal said, it is poetry, the indecent poetry. When shaitan asked again, make me a book, give me a book. And Allah Azza wa Jal said that it is tattoos and the engravings. Then he asked, grant me a messenger. And Allah Azza wa Jal responded that the messengers are the soothsayers. Then shaitan asked, oh Allah, grant me a trap. Allah Azza wa Jal said, they are women. Allahu Akbar. In this hadith, there are many secrets that get unfolded. And we get to know the reality of shaitan. And what are the means by which he deceives us, he misguides us. And we need to know this in order to safeguard ourselves. You know, as a person who does not know the dangers of something, he won't really safeguard himself against that, Sayyidi. Let's say, for example, a child doesn't know that snake is poisonous and one bite of snake will finish him. So if a snake comes, he will play with the snake instead of running away from it.
Right.
Until he grows older and he learns about it. And then he will learn to abstain from the snake. Similarly, we as those who are unaware of the tricks and the trickeries of shaitan will not really be able to safeguard ourselves until we learn. And until we seek knowledge and empower ourselves. Because knowledge is power.
Yes.
And this power we can use against shaitan, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And in this regard, there is a narration. And in this narration, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, he mentions it in his Malfuzat Sharif, that shaitan is after the one who seeks the knowledge of deen. Because knowledge of deen is that knowledge that gives us ammunition and power against shaitan.
Definitely.
And makes us capable and preps us to go head to head against shaitan. Let's say, for example, we go and we study about the divine attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in aqaid. That is the first thing we study.
Yes.
And we learn that these are the divine attributes of Allah azza wa jal. So if shaitan comes to us, whispers to us, you know, that is something that is not befitting the divine glory of Allah azza wa jal, then we wouldn't agree with it. Or if we see something that is against and opposite to what we have learnt in Islam, then we wouldn't agree with things like that, like our aqaid, for example.
Right.
No matter how much shaitan whispers to us, you know, the false notions about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, and so on and so forth, we will shun the shaitan away because we have been enlightened by the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. Alhamdulillah. So there was a child, and this child used to go to madrasa, and shaitan, Sayyidi Alaa says, he lays his throne on the water. And once shaitan laid his throne on the water, and all the minions were present there, the disciples of shaitan, Iblis. Right. And he started taking out account of all of them, right? What you did today, what homework you got for me. And they all presented with whatever they had done for the day. And one said that he caused separation between husband and wife. One said he caused some fights between the two people. All of that and many different activities that they had performed for the day. They all presented with their deeds, what they had done. And thinking that shaitan will give them an applaud. But they didn't receive any applause from shaitan. One of the minions, he came out and he said that today I led a child astray and I misguided him from his path to the madrasa.
Allah.
Meaning I prevented him from going to the madrasa. Shaitan went and applauded him that yes, what a job you did, great job. After shaitan applauded him, the rest of the minions, they are jealous of him.
Right.
That how come we did such great things in their own rights?
Right.
And you didn't applaud us with anything. And here he comes and he only mislead a child. And you are saying, bravo, you know, wow, what a great job. And what we did, it was nothing. He said, wait, I'll show you. I'll show you why I've done what I've done. He said, come with me. They now went and near a masjid.
Right.
So shaitan sat near the masjid in the form of a human. And he said that hide behind me. So they all hid and they were watching shaitan. He said, watch and learn. And he sat on the path to the masjid. And one worshipper was coming. Mm-hmm. And it was almost time for Fajr Salah. There was very little time left. So he was coming, rushing towards the masjid, this abid, this worshipper. And he wasn't an alim. He was a layman, but he was a great worshipper. He used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala timelessly, and he was consistent. So when he sees the abid, shaitan, he says, Sayyidi, please, I just have a question. He said, no, make it sharp. I am running late for Fajr.
Right.
He said, okay, I have a question. That Allah azza wa jal, tell me, I have this bottle, small bottle he took out. Mm-hmm. He said, I have this small bottle. is Allah Azza wa Jal capable enough to fit the entire universe, this entire world, into this bottle? So the worshipper, he was in doubt.
Allahu Akbar.
He said, I don't think that's possible. Where the whole world and where the small bottle?
Allah, Allah.
And then he said, okay, I got my answer, you can go now. Then he turned to his minions. He said, did you see what I did? All his life, the entire life of ibadat and the worship that he had done, it rendered null and void at this point in time. Because of just this one statement. And had he known better, he would have caught me. But now, because of him not acquiring the knowledge of Islam, he doesn't know. Therefore, he has committed disbelief in Allah Azza wa Jal. And therefore, all his years of worship means nothing. See what a difference it makes when a person goes and learns the knowledge of Islam. And then he said, we're not done yet. He said, wait. Then another Alim Sahab, he was also on his way to Fajr Salah.
Right.
And then he stopped him on his tracks. He said, he stopped him on the way. He said that, Sayyidi, I've got a question. If you can please answer my question. He said, no, make it sharp. I'm running late for Fajr. He said, just a small question. He said, I have this bottle with me. I was thinking, is Allah Azza wa Jal capable enough? Has he got the authority and power to put this world in this tiny bottle? He said, you are shaitan. You are asking to put this world inside this bottle. He is capable enough and he has power that even if he wants, then hundreds of such worlds. Allah Azza wa Jal, not only in this bottle, but he can make it go through the eye of the needle.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah. And that was the response. So he turned to his disciples and he said, see what a difference it makes when a person has gained the knowledge of Islam and one who doesn't have the knowledge of Islam.
Allah.
Subhanallah. So yes, these are some of the ways that we can equip ourselves against the tricks and the deception of shaitan. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Sayyidi, shaitan is the one who causes fights, who causes fights between two brothers, who can, you know, make the entire community up in mayhem, you know, out of nowhere.
And you know, Mansur, regarding this year, right, it reminds me of a very beautiful incident. And this incident is really, really eye-opening. Wherein it's mentioned that there was a person in the marketplace, right? And this person, he saw shaitan. And he saw shaitan with his finger pointing upwards. So he asked him that, why is your finger pointing upwards? Shaitan tells him that you have no idea what I can do with this one finger of mine. With this one finger, I can turn this entire city upside down. So this person, now he gets astonished and he asks him, really? How will you turn this entire city upside down with just this one finger of yours? So Shaitan tells him, okay, just wait here and watch what happens. So Shaitan goes, is walking in the market, and he comes across a confectionery shop wherein this person, he was making sugar. And he goes there. Shaitan puts his finger into that hot pot where this person was making sugar. He puts his finger in there and he just rubs it onto the wall, a small piece. And thereafter, Shaitan tells him, now watch what happens. So when this sugar was on the wall, flies came and surrounded the sugar. After that, there were lizards also. There was a lizard. And this lizard saw the fly and wanted to go and eat the fly. So the lizard came towards the fly and wanting to eat it. This confectioner, he had a cat. And when the cat saw the lizard, obviously, you know, cats, they like running after lizards or cockroaches or whatever it may be. So the cat now saw the lizard and it went after the lizard as well. As it was going after the lizard, two soldiers entered the city. And these two soldiers had a dog as well. When they entered the dog, as they were walking close to this confectioner's shop, this dog saw the cat. And cats and dogs, they don't get along, right? They always head on with each other. So the dog now went after this cat. The cat saw the dog coming after it and ran for his life to escape. But as it was running, by accident, it fell and it went into that hot pot where the confectioner was making sugar. And that resulted in the cat dying. When the confectioner came to know of this, that my cat has died because of this dog wanting to chase my cat, this confectioner got angry and he got frustrated. Immediately, he ended up killing that dog as well. Then the two soldiers, they saw this happening. They went and they killed that confectioner because that confectioner killed their dog. When that happened, the family members of this confectioner, they came to know that two soldiers came in the city and they killed our family member. We're not going to leave it like that. We are going to avenge our family member. We are going to take revenge. So the family members of this person came and they killed these two soldiers. Now what happened was news reached the army and the army sent all of the soldiers, the entire army came. And they wiped out this entire city. Allah, and then Shaitan said that, look, see how I destroyed this entire city with just one finger of mine. Mm. And it all started off by placing sugar, one small piece of sugar on the wall.
Just like how it takes one spark to burn the entire city.
Yes, exactly. Mm. And also what made it more was that that confectioner, he got angry. And you know, it's mentioned in the narration that Shaitan, he flows through the blood of man. And when a person gets angry, then Shaitan gets the better of such a person. Now we learn so much of things from this incident that we always have to, you know, if someone wants to defeat the enemy, they got to know the enemy. And that's why it's so important for us to always know and study about Shaitan, about the whispers, the tricks, and the traps of Shaitan. How many, yes. You know, I recall an incident that happened in the time of Bani Israel. And there was an individual by the name of Barsisa. And this individual, it's mentioned, he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one day, Shaitan had a meeting with his minions, his disciples. And he asked him that, which one of y'all can mislead Barsisa? Because that's how, you know, pious he was. He was so steadfast. And during, it's mentioned that he would perform so much of ibadah. And when Shaitan asked this question to his minions, none of them gave an answer.
So he put a bounty on his head, basically.
Yeah, he put a bounty on his head. So there was one minion. And his name was Abiyad. So he said that I will be able to fulfill this wish of yours. So what he did was, he came in the appearance of a human being in a very pious way. And Barsisa was a pious individual himself. So this Abiyad Shaitan comes into the place where Barsisa would worship, right? Into a mosque-like. And Abiyad Shaitan goes there and he starts performing worship. Now Barsisa, the moment, you know, he turns his head, he sees this Abiyad Shaitan performing, you know, so much of ibadah with sincerity. And Abiyad Shaitan goes to him and tells him that, you know what, I want to be in your company. Barsisa tells him that if you're going to be in my company, then most of my time would go towards you and I would not have much time to continue worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Abiyad Shaitan, he left immediately, he didn't say anything. After, as time was going, this Abhya Chetan, he was so cunning and so, you know, sly and also very smart. What he did was, he would go to the place where Barzisa would be performing worship, performing solar. He would go there and this Abhya Chetan would mind his own business. And he would also do his own worship, and in such a way that when Barzisa, one day after performing his worship, he just turned his head and he saw this Abhya Chetan performing worship so sincerely, you know, with humbleness and with sincerity. And at that moment in time, Barzisa now got attracted to him because he's pious. Barzisa is also pious. And obviously that attractiveness will be there. So Barzisa got attracted to him and wanted him also now to be in his company. I mean, because if you have pious company, then they would motivate each other to do more good deeds, right? Yeah. So this Abhya Chetan said that, you're too late. I found another companion and I am going there. After spending 1 year with Barzisa. So he says, I am going. But before going, I want to leave you with few words that if you recite them, you would be able to cure people. And you'd be able to do so many other things. So Barzisa, he says that if I end up doing this, I don't want to know about this. If you're going to tell me, I am going to learn it, and then people would come to know, they would come to me, I would end up getting busy sorting out their problems. Where would I find time now to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I wouldn't find the time. Barzisa, after seeing all of this, right, this Abhya Chetan now said that he continued to encourage him, right, to learn these words. And finally, he succeeded in encouraging Barzisa to learn these words in which he can cure people and solve their problems, etc. After, you know, spending nearly a year in the company of Barzisa and teaching him these evil words, this Abhya now, he appeared in front of Shaitan and said to him that there is no doubt at all, and I managed to mislead this person and place him on a wrong path. According to Barzisa, he is thinking that I am on the right path, that I am doing everything good. So Abhyad, he left Shaitan after telling Shaitan what happened. He left Shaitan and came back to continue with his plot. Now we see that this is not happening over 1 day or over 2 days or over 3 days. It was a proper plan in place that almost a year went by. Thereafter, Abhyad, he caught one person, right, and pressed his neck. And he went to the house of this person like he was someone who could cure the sick person. And Abhyad at that time, this Abhyad Chetan, he then said to the people of the house that this person, he became insane. He became mad. Shall I cure him? And, you know, obviously the people in the house, they wanted him now to be cured. They couldn't say, no, no, we don't want him to be cured. They said, yes, we want him to be cured. And on the other hand, Barzisa, he is busy occupying himself in learning those words so that he can cure people. Thereafter, this Abhya Chetan, he says that when the people of the house said that we want him to be cured, he acted now like he was making dumb on this person. He was blowing on this person and he was doing all funny things to make it seem like he's giving this person some kind of treatment. And he then said that there is no doubt that the jinn, in the meantime there was no jinn, he just pressed his neck. He said that there's no doubt that the jinn who has captured this person, he is very powerful, very, very strong. And I am not capable enough to deal with this. It's beyond my capabilities. But I have a suggestion. And that suggestion is, there's one person who can solve this problem. He cures people and he knows very powerful words. I suggest that you go to this person and he will help you in this matter. And this Abhya Chetan even told these people that Barzisa knows Ism-e-Azam. So the people went to Barzisa, and since he already knows the words which were already taught to him, he blew on the sick person And this person immediately, all of a sudden, he became well.
Whoa.
Right? So in this way, this Abhyat Shaitan continued to make people sick, and people continued coming to Barsisa for Shifa, to get cured. And it continued in this way for such a long time that Barsisa became famous now. He became well known that by his one touch, people get cured. Now, after a long, long time has passed, the same Abhyat Shaitan, he approached the daughter of a king. And he also went to her and pressed her throat as well.
Yeah.
This girl, she had three brothers, the daughter of this king. And this Abhyat Shaitan, he appeared in the form of someone who could cure this girl. And he volunteered, you know, to cure the daughter of this king. Her brothers, they also allowed him to cure their sister. Mm. Now, Abhyat Shaitan, he then mentioned that this young girl was affected by a powerful jinn. Again, he's bringing the same excuse.
Yes.
That she has a powerful jinn and it is beyond my capabilities to cure her. I cannot do anything. Mm. However, there is an individual. He is called Barsisa. Mm-hmm. And a long time has passed. He knows such powerful words. And it's proven that people have went to him. And just by one touch of his, people got cured. I suggest that you take your sister to this pious individual. And she would be cured. So the three brothers, with this intention in mind, they want their sister to be cured also. It's their sister at the end of the day.
Sure.
And they want her to be cured. So they journeyed towards Barsisa. When they reached Barsisa, these three brothers, they brought their young sister to Barsisa. But at this moment in time, something different happened. And that was, Barsisa refused to treat her. However, they insisted, the brothers, they insisted, and they left their young sister in the company of Barsisa, and they left. Now what happened was, in some reports, it's mentioned that there was a secret cave in this place where Barsisa would worship, right? There was a secret cave. And he pointed towards this cave, indicating to the brothers that leave your sister over there.
Hmm.
After these brothers had left, this Abhyat Shaitan now appeared and said to Barsisa that at least, you know what, she's sick. At least go leave one plate of food by her, right? So, this Abhyat Shaitan says, what harm is there? What would happen if you go leave one plate of food there and come back? Nothing would happen. You're doing it out of courtesy. You're feeding someone. Nothing bad is going to happen. So, Barsisa, he began to walk towards this cave. And this was the first time that Barsisa had seen a female in this state. Because prior to this, he was in isolation.
Yes.
This was the first time ever. And, ma'adallah, he could not control himself. And he committed wrong with her. When that happened, this Abhyat Shaitan informed him that you are such an evil person. You are so evil. And now, on top of that, you have become guilty of adultery. All of this Abhyat Shaitan is saying to Barsisa. Now, he tells him
through a guilt trip.
Yeah. And this Abhyat Shaitan tells him, now there's only one way. And this one way is, in a way that in which you can protect yourself, the one way is, you need to murder her. That's the only way. Otherwise, if her brothers come to know what had happened and if she's still alive, what will happen to your respect? What would happen to your fame, your name and everything that you have? Everything would be gone. You would be living a life of ruin. So it's better, you know what, to instead of going the long way, take a shortcut, murder her. After you murder her, make tawbah. Look at this cunning way of this Abhyat Shaitan, what he's telling to Barsisa. when her brothers appear, he's still telling him that when her brothers come, then you must inform them that an evil shaitan came, appeared, and had taken their sister away. So this Abhya Chetan, he continued to encourage Barsisa in different ways, telling him different things to do and different methods. Eventually, Barsisa, he ended up killing this girl. And he buried her in a secret place in which no one knew, only he knew. He went back to his place of worship and continued to perform worship, right? When her brothers returned, her brothers came and asked about the sister, that where is our sister? Is she okay? Did she come right? And Barsisa mentioned exactly what Abhya Chetan told him to say. He told her brothers that an evil shaitan appeared and took their sister away. Mm-hmm. And I could not save her because this evil shaitan took her away. Now the brothers, they began to become worried. And they went in search of her. So in the evening, whilst they were asleep, this Abhya Chetan appeared in the dream of the eldest brother and said to him that, are you stupid? Are you mad? Can't you see what is happening over here? He said that Barsisa, he had committed an evil deed with your sister and he had murdered her as well. And also, he actually buried her in a particular place. The big brother, initially, he thought nothing of this dream. That is this really true? It can't be. He never believed it. Because Barsisa is such a pious individual. Who would ever believe it? No one would believe it. So, the big brother, on the first night, he thought that this was, you know, just an accusation against a pious individual like Barsisa. Can never be true. Yes. And he also appeared in the dream of the other two brothers to reinforce it now and make it such that it is true what is appearing in their dream.
Yes.
Now, when the youngest brother mentioned what he had seen in his dream, all of them mentioned the exact same thing. And then they came to know that, you know what, it has to be true. There can't be any other way around it. And so all of them go to Barsisa and they asked again about their sister. So Barsisa said that this evil shaitan came, took your sister away, and now she's gone. These brothers became embarrassed. Because how they could accuse this pious person of such a deed.
Allah.
So they became embarrassed. But this Abhya Chetan mentioned that he wasn't someone who could remain silent because he had made a promise to Iblis.
Yes.
And he was firm on his mission. So Abhya Chetan then appeared to these three brothers and informed them that they should go to a certain area where they would find the grave of their sister. And that part of her clothing was also visible as well. So when they went to the spot and they began to dig, they found the dead body of their sister. Now, they became angry and they went back to Barsisa and they pulled him forward. They took him to face justice in front of the king. And when Barsisa appeared in front of the king, he had no option because all the evidence is there.
Yes.
He had no option now but to admit to his crime. And he also mentioned that he was deceived by Shaitan. But the king, he wasn't prepared to listen to all of this. Whether you deceived by Shaitan or not, that's not in my interest.
Exactly.
That's not my thing. He wasn't interested. So the king, he felt, you know, no pity at all, no sympathy towards Barsisa whatsoever. And his punishment, the punishment of Barsisa, was nothing else but death. He needs to be killed. And Barsisa, thereafter, the order was given that he needs to be executed. He needs to be killed. Finally, this Abhya Chetan, he appeared in front of Barsisa and asked, "Do you recognize me? Do you know who I am?" And he says that, "I am that same friend of yours who taught you those powerful, so-called powerful words. And yet, what was left with you, you did not respect and safeguard. You also insulted all those who spend time in worship." Now, this Abhyat Shaitan, his first trick was Barsisa. He deceived him in killing the sister. Now, Abhyat Shaitan didn't even stop there. He went on further to take away the iman of Barsisa. And that is why this Abhyat Shaitan was telling him all of these things, that you insulted people who spend time in worship, and if you die in this state, there's no hope for your salvation. So in other words, he's saying to Barsisa that all your worship, it is of no use. And Barsisa then asked, "Now, tell me, what can I do? What should I do now?" Then Abhyat Shaitan said that if you accept this one advice of mine, just one request of mine, you will be saved by me. And I will also make you disappear in front of all of these people. And they would never find you. Your embarrassment, all of that would be gone. They won't find you. But Barsisa then said, "Tell me those. Please tell me that request of yours. I would do anything, no matter what it takes, but tell me." Then this Abhyat Shaitan then told him and asked him to make sajda to him, to this Abhyat Shaitan, that he must make sajda to him, prostrate in front of him. And Barsisa, in that, you know, he was left with no option. And he immediately fell into sajda towards this Abhyat Shaitan. And when that happened, this Abhyat Shaitan, he said and he declared that this was my actual intention from the very beginning, that my intention was to make you commit this act of haram, and now you will die as a kafir, and I have no concern about you whatsoever. And after that, Barsisa, the king, had him executed after he made sajda and prostrated towards this Abhyat Shaitan. And that's how the end of Barsisa was. Such a pious individual, his end result was kufr, and he died as an unbeliever, and he got deceived by the trickery, traps and deception of shaitan.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And he had fallen from grace.
Allah, Allah.
Shaitan, his tricks, his deception, his misguidance, he will appear to be your best friend.
Yes.
But he will abandon you like a hot potato dropped into oil.
He would even make something, he would even make, you know, a sin seem so appealing to a person that a person would indulge in it.
He presents the dunya. Dunya is old.
Yes.
Like an old woman.
Right.
With his teeth coming out and falling. Its hair all looking shabby. And it has hunched back. Who likes a woman of that nature, right?
No one.
But shaitan makes this world appear so pleasing, so tempting.
Allah.
And
Akbar.
He beautifies everything, like that girl.
Yeah.
He actually did that trick for him, for the worshipper, for Barsisa, to see her in that state, to provoke him. Allahu Akbar. And this is the trickery and the tricks of shaitan. May Allah Azza wa Jal safeguard from all these tricks of shaitan. Ameen.
Ameen.
So yes, dear viewers, these are the ways in which we can learn to safeguard ourselves against the deception of a shaitan. And this shaitan, he deceived this great worshipper, Barsisa, from what he was to what he had become.
Allah, Allah.
And if we keep on following the advice of shaitan, we will be also in disgrace, left with nothing. Our iman, our amal, all being destroyed. And there are not just this account of this student and of this worshipper, the abid who was going for Fajr Salah. The shaitan stopped him, asked him the question, "O Barsisa, who was tricked by Abiyad." There are hundreds of such accounts. Yes. Where even The greats, they were deceived by the trickeries of Shaitan. Shaitan tried his tricks even with Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar.
He appeared and he said that I have made halal for you all those things which were haram for others. Sayyidina Ghawse Pak rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said, you are Shaitan. And he recited A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem to chase the Shaitan away. He said, you are trying to mislead me. He said, oh Ghawse Pak, your knowledge has saved you.
Allah, Allah.
He said, you are still trying to deceive me. It's not my knowledge, my Allah has saved me.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. We need the protection of Allah against the enemy, Shaitan. Therefore, when we want to begin with something virtuous and we don't want Shaitan to interfere with this, we first seek protection of Allah Azza wa Jal from Shaitan, the accursed one, and we say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitani Rajeem, that I seek Allah's refuge from devil, the cursed. Allahu Akbar. And then we recite the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Subhanallah, the most gracious, the most merciful. And then we start with something virtuous, because in every matter of life, we need Allah's help.
Yes, definitely.
We need Allah's guidance. We need the divine inspiration, the tawfiq from Allah Azza wa Jal. And that only comes, Subhanallah, by the grace and the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And once we have that, then only that can help us to counter Shaitan and all his attacks. So when we are attacked by Shaitan, even sometimes the Sahaba used to complain to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he puts some thoughts in our minds that we feel even ashamed to say it, utter it. But Shaitan does put those thoughts in our minds.
Right.
And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you must say, Amantu Billah.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. And sometimes it is mentioned by the pious predecessors that if Shaitan puts those waswasas in your mind and you are in a place where you can't really do something about it. Let's say, for example, you are in a gathering of zikr.
Right.
You are sitting in the masjid. What are you going to do?
So
usually if you are out, then you can look towards your left and with extreme anger, you must say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and spit. But if you are in a place where you cannot do that, then at least look with anger towards your left, and you must say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-aliyyil azim, and make like spitting sound with no saliva, because sanctity of the masjid or the respectable areas where we are seated, where we cannot do that, then rather do that. Subhanallah. So these are some of the ways to tackle these shaitanic attacks and the whispers. Alhamdulillah, we also need the help of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidi Ala used to, in his poetry, used to take the help of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah, you know, and this has become so extreme, the shaitanic attacks, the enemies. And he used to take shelter in the help of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here in this kalam, Sayyidi, he says, Bakare khesh hairanam aghithni ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, upon my own doings, I am troubled. Please help me, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we are going to listen to this kalam, and shortly we'll be back after we have listened to the kalam. Until then, stay tuned with Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Bakare khash hairanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Bakare khash hairanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam, parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Parishanam, parishanam aghithni ya Rasulallah. Nadaram juz tu mal jaye, nadanam juz tu mawaye, nadanam juz tu
نم جزے تم آوا ہے تو ہی خود ساز و سامانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ تو ہی خود ساز و سامانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ شہاب کس نوازی کن طبیبا جار سازی کن شہاب کس نوازی کن طبیبا چارا سازی کن مریض درد عصیانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ مریض درد عصیانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ اگر رانی اگر خانی غلامم من تا سلطانی اگر سلطانی دیگر چیزیں نمیدانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ دیگر چیزیں نمیدانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ گناہ در جانم آتش زد قیامت شعلہ میخیزد گناہ در جانم آتش زد قیامت شعلہ میخیزد مدد اے آب حیوانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ مدد اے آب حیوانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم پریشانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہار مرا خزاں سوزد چمر غم نخل جا سوزد بہار مرا خزاں سوزد نریزد برگ ایمانم اغفنی یا رسول اللہ نریزد برگ ایمانم جانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ چمہ ہے شرفت نانگے زد بلائے بے اماخی زد چمہ ہے شرفت نانگے زد بلائے بے اماخی زد بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ بجویم از تو درمانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزا ید پدر را نفرت آید پسر را وحشت افزا ید تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ تو گیری زیر دامانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم دستگیری کنیا رسول اللہ گدائے آمد سلطان با امید کرم نالا گدائے آمد سلطان با امید کرم نالا تہی داما مگر دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ تہی داما مگر دانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لا تنگر رضایت سائل بے پر تو ہی سلطان لا تنگر شہاب ہرے عزی خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ شہاب ہرے عزی خانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم اغثنی یا رسول اللہ پریشانم
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back, dear viewers. Subhanallah, we were listening to this wonderful kalam penned by Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Ali Rahma. And subhanallah, this wonderful kalam written in Arabic and Persian, bilingual, alhamdulillah, especially the opening lyric, the opening verses, alhamdulillah, Bakare Khaysh. Hayranam aghithni ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Similar to what we hear from Mawlana Jami rahmatullahi ta'ala, Sheikh Saadi rahmatullahi ta'ala, and other great poets, subhanallah. As in one couplet he says, Ya sahib al-jamal wa ya sayyid al-bashar, min wajhik al-munir laqad nuwir al-qamar, la yumkinu thanau kama kana haqquhu ba'daz khuda buzurg tu'i. Qissa Mukhtasar. Subhanallah. Here also an example of the bilingual poetry from the pious predecessors, alhamdulillah. And if we listen to the poetry of Shaykh Saadi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he also says, you know, Balagha al-wala bi kamalihi, kashafat duja bi jamali, hasunat jami'u khisalihi, sallu alayhi wa alihi, subhanallah. And other poetic verses in Gulistan and Bostan, subhanallah, in various books and the works of our pious predecessors. Sayyidi Ala also has a piece of poetry, Lam yati naziru ka fi nazarin, misle tu nashud paida jana, jagraj ko taj ture sarso hai, tujhko shahe to sara jana. And here it's quadlingual, not only bilingual, subhanallah, in four languages. Each verse of poetry comprises of four languages, subhanallah. Namely, you know, he starts with the Lam yati naziruka fi nazarin, that is Arabic, and Misle tu nashud paida jana, that is Farsi, Jagraj ko taj ture sarsohe, that is Hindi, and then Hai tujhko shahe to sara jana. That is now Urdu, subhanallah. So these are the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who, alhamdulillah, have beautifully praised the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam using different platforms, different methods, different languages, Allahu Akbar. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understands all languages, whether it's Farsi, Arabic, Hindi, Urdu, Swahili, Zulu, Xhosa, and Sotho. There are so many languages of the world: Afrikaans, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, subhanallah, and all is understood by the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He even understands the language of those who are mute, who can't even speak.
Allah
Akbar. The shair says, wo hi bharte hai jholiyan sabke, wo samajhte hai boliyan sabke, aao bazaar Mustafa ko chale, aao bazaar Mustafa ko chale, gham khushi mein yahi badalte hain. So yes, if you have any desires, knock on the doors of the beloved Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidi, I was watching on Madani channel, and Haji Abdul Habib, Maulana Haji Abdul Habib Hafizahullah, our great Rukneshura, he was mentioning one event that he himself had encountered near the Rauda Mubarakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there was this person, very simple person,
right,
and he was from Pakistan, and then he was actually having a conversation with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, I saw this person while I was respectfully standing, and this person was very free. And he came, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I came to present my salam to you. You know, Ya Rasulullah, that person there in my town, he has conveyed his salam. Please accept his salam also. You know, certain person, he has this problem, he has told me to convey his message to Ya Rasulullah. He said this to you. As if he is actually talking to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have our own way of, you know, connecting with the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the sahaba of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would connect to them at various different levels, alhamdulillah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fulfill all their wishes, alhamdulillah. Whatever they asked, nobody returned empty handed, as the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that he doesn't shun you, he doesn't say no. There is no such thing as no in the court of Rasulullah.
Definitely.
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Sayyidi Ala says that nahi sunta hi nahi maangne wala tera. That he who begs at the door of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he never hears the word no. Subhanallah. So yes, and if we really truly ask for help from the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to equip us against shaitan, inshallah Azza wa Jal, we will be helped.
Definitely.
Turn to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, and therein lies our salvation.
Also, Master, what's very important to note is some people may, you know, experiencing a lot of satanic whispers.
Yes.
And one cause for those satanic whispers always, you know, increasing is perhaps a person is giving attention to that. And when you give attention to that, then more comes.
Mm.
But on the other hand, if a person, as soon as a satanic whisper of what comes to their mind, and if they have to immediately ignore that, then they would see that satanic whisper would not come again. And this we learn from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he says that shaitan comes to you and whispers such things to you to the extent that shaitan would even whisper to you who created your Rabb. To this extent. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when shaitan disturbs you to this extent, then you should recite A'udhu Billah and refrain from it. Now, on this hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yad Khan Naimi rahimahullah, he gives a very beautiful commentary over here. And he says that not every question is answered. So he says that we shouldn't, a person should not try to think about the answer to the satanic whispers, right? Otherwise, shaitan will ask another question. So Mufti Ahmad Yad Khan Naimi rahimahullah, he says that drive shaitan away, take shaitan away by reciting A'udhu Billah. So we learn that not every question is answered. Like when shaitan did not prostrate himself in front of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, then shaitan ended up giving so many reasons for it. But how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respond to all those reasons and excuses that shaitan was giving? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not entertain it. Rather, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told shaitan that فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا, that you get out of heaven, get out from here, because now you are accursed. So from this we understand and we realize that if we have to encounter a satanic whisper, then immediately, instead of pondering over it and thinking about it, and it's taking up our mental health, energy also, ignore all of that and just recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All of these, it is us seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Absolutely.
And that is what we need. We need the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against shaitan.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us all against the tricks, deception and the trickeries of shaitan.
Ameen.
The accursed. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Lamin. Inshallah. We now conclude our episode upon the recitation of durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ala Muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.